Jackson by Joe Algieri and Maria Socrates. And before that, we heard Jack, the Joe Algieri Collective, with Time Machine. And we seem to fix our gremlins going old school through the speakerphone. Joe Algieri, all the way from Perth, Western Australia. Joe, can you hear me?
I can certainly hear you loud and clear, Mike.
And you sound much better, too. So we're just chatting about that.
I'm going to have to hear myself immediately after.
Yeah, just one Joe at a time, please. So we're just chatting about that off the air. You've got a little bit of a gender reversal going in that version of Jackson. And by the way, nice, nice duet with Maria Socrates.
Thank you. Yes, as I was saying, I've had that version contemplated for over a decade. I always had the idea that if I'm going to be the 1,000th artist to do a cover, I want to do it slightly differently. And I was just waiting for the right female vocalist. And Maria is a friend of mine from the other side of Australia. She lives in rural Victoria. And much like Herb and, well, Herb from the Britannicas, we did a transcontinental recording. So Maria recorded her vocals in her part of the world. And I did the rest here in Perth. And I've actually never met Maria in person. We've had one phone conversation, but we've actually never met in person. And another one of my friends that I've met online. So that's the extent of our friendship.
That's pretty wild, and it seems like that's more and more common these days. But I guess in this era of internet, social networking, and great tools you can use yourself, I guess time, distance, none of that really matters anymore, huh?
And I've always been quite excited about those possibilities. And I remember the first time I recorded that way, which was a decade ago, and we were feeding audio files across, I can't even remember what they were called, a 64 kilobyte per second dial-up modem, and
wow.
You'd have to have it on all night just to move one MP3 file. So even then I was quite excited, of course, with everything being so much faster now. It's wonderful, and I see as each day goes by, more and more musicians are doing this sort of thing as well, which I think is wonderful.
It's fantastic. The technology finally caught up with the bright idea.
That's right.
That's pretty amazing. Yeah, and I always joke about you and Herb and Magnus, the Britannicas, that you guys are a world music outfit.
World music actually means something a little bit different. I don't play a didgeridoo and all these older instruments, but I like to think of us as an international pop outfit, so...
Yes, that's so true. And speaking of international pop, haven't you played at the International Pop Overthrow in the States? You've been here before, right?
I have. I got all sentimental when I saw David Bash advertising the 15th IPO in Los Angeles, because I was there the very first one in 1998, and I went back in 1999, and it was an amazing experience, because I was there almost by default in 1998. I didn't hear much about it. I'd been on tour with my band in Europe, Jack and the Beanstalk, and I decided to stay on in Europe after the rest of the band had come back home. And I heard all my friends at the time emailing that there was this international pop overthrow festival happening in LA, and that I should go over. And to cut a long story short, I did, and it was absolutely wonderful. And I went back the following year, and much to everyone's confusion, I'd moved to Sweden by that stage.
Oh.
I'd lived there for 4 years. And it was just confused. Even David himself was confused, because he said, "But you're from Australia, right?" And I said, "Yes, I am, but I'm living in Stockholm now." And I had this blank look. It just didn't make sense. An Australian guy could actually live somewhere else.
Yeah, you're supposed to be back in Australia. That's kind of funny, though. But again, time, space, nationality really makes no difference in this day and age. We have listeners all over the world and all over the U.S. that are completely enjoying your music. And I love how we chat together online during the show. It's like a community of listeners and artists.
Well, it is, and it becomes part of my routine that I wake up Sunday morning now, and I click on your show. That's normally time I wake up, and you're right, and you make new friends, you chat to the same sort of folk, and it is really now an international community, so it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, it's so much fun, and of course I heard of you through the Britannicas, and then you did the three-side single last year or 2 years ago when I had that great three-way chat with you and Herb. So it was, you know, California, Chicago, Illinois, and then you in Australia. And now fast forward to 2012, and you have this wonderful new album, or would we call it a double album? Faux Pas. So what's the motivation behind the Joe Algieri Collective and the new album?
Well, after we had a break from recording the Britannicas, I've always had great respect for, you know, artists that actually do an album, which is not an acoustic album, completely on their own as a one-man band. And I thought, I think I'm ready to give this a crack. I almost regretted it in a way, because it took me 2 years to finish. And in fact, the first track you played today, I Play All the Instruments, was the very first track that I wrote and recorded for the album. And I was really just poking fun at myself for even contemplating the whole idea. And then that sort of set the blueprint for the rest of the album. So I stubbornly persevered. And let me tell you, I'm not the great multi-instrumentalist that some of the reviewers are already saying. I'm just incredibly persistent, and this album is a triumph of editing over performance. I have to be quite frank about that.
It's funny, because some of the songs seem to spell that out. Of course, I Play All the Instruments sounds like you. Track number 4, Persistent Man, which we played on the show, I guess that's you as well.
Yes. It's all me, and I've just had to tackle recording in peculiar fashion, that I have to start off with a different instrument depending on what's going to be most convenient for me to overdub everything else. So it did take a while, but as my wife will tell you, I'm as stubborn as a mule, so I will keep going. There's no stopping me.
No, that's very, very cool indeed. And not one album, but two albums here. You've got the bonus disc, Drugs, Trucks, and Jesus. So that's kind of a nice little gift for us listeners. What's the story behind the bonus disc?
Well, I've got to give credit to Ray from Cool Cat Music, a little record label in New Jersey. And we were both lamenting the state of the music industry, in that it's so hard to sell product now. I accept the fact that most people in front of their computers or their mobile devices are quite happy to listen to music, and because of Spotify and all those types of sites which now legitimately and legally stream music, most folks actually don't have the need to buy music. So we were chatting about ways that we could have a little incentive for people to actually buy a product, and particularly the CD version. And it was Ray's idea. He said, well, you've done a lot of recording. Can't we do a bonus disc of sorts? And I said, how about a bonus disc of covers? Because I've got plenty of those that I've recorded over the years. So the bonus disc is half various covers that I've recorded on my own. I've got one track from the Britannicas on there. I've got the oldest track is actually a live in the studio version of a Nerves song, which I did with Jack and the Beanstalk about 15 years ago. That was originally a B-side on a 7-inch vinyl for Parasol Records. We did a very long time ago. So I put these 10 tracks together, and I thought, yeah, this is nice. So it's a little bit of an incentive for people to buy the CD version of the album and not just the download. So if you buy the download, you don't get the bonus disc.
Well, yeah, that's a great incentive, you know, offering people more songs to listen to. I mean, who could refuse that? And you mentioned Parasol Records. That's intriguing. That's a little label from Central Illinois. I found a lot of great artists that I've played on the show over the years there, including people like Mark Bacino is on there. How did you get hooked up with Parasol?
Well, I was quite fortunate. When I started playing music in the early 90s, I hooked up with a colleague of mine who's just started a record label here in Western Australia, and he quite wisely said to me, we've got to look a lot further than Perth or Western Australia. If you Google it, you'll see references to Perth being the most isolated city in the world, and we've had for many years a fairly buoyant live scene, but it's always been very expensive to tour from Perth, aside from a few regional centres. It's very expensive to get to, or at least it was, to the other side of Australia, and anywhere that we travel to overseas is expensive. So David quite wisely said to me, we've got to push your product overseas. And we did. We sent it off to Jeff, the head honcho at Parasol, and he liked that stuff, and that was Jack and the Beanstalk's first album. And Parasol went on to release another Jack and the Beanstalk EP and co-released my first two solo albums. And I just kept that same ethos from that moment onwards. I always looked further than Perth in trying to promote my music, and it's more important today than it's ever been to look past your own hometown.
Exactly. I mean, a lot of us could say is we can't get arrested in our own hometown, so we got to go outside. I've probably heard your music then. I didn't even realize it was you, because I have several of those Parasol Sweet 16 compilations, and I remember the name Jack and the Beanstalk, so I'm going to go home and review it. I'm here with Joe Algieri from Perth, Western Australia. We're listening to some tracks off his brand new album, Faux Pas, and the bonus disc. Could you stay with me for another segment, Joe? We're running up against the top of the hour here.
Okay.
So why don't we play part of one of your tracks? What would you like to hear as we end the hour in this segment?
Okay, let's play a shorter one. This is more trad power pop, like Jack and the Beanstalk. This is track number 5, and it's called Julie Got Angry.
Okay, Julie Got Angry off of Faux Pas, Joe Algieri. Here's Julie Got Angry.
1, 2, 3, 4. I escaped from home. I went to the doctor cause I was sick of being alone. Loving her is like a million pills trying to swallow me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Oh baby, oh baby, please. Julie got angry cause I stole and crashed a car. I drank all the liquor and I pawned her favorite guitar. Love and her are all these different pills of pain and ecstasy. I don't want your mouth, just stop and set me free. We'll be right back.
88.7. The voice, Joel Jury, the Jack and persistent man off of Faux Pas. And Joe, what does that remind me of? I hear a little, perhaps, Graham Parker in there. What's your influence on that one?
On Persistent Man, the track Julie Got Angry, that's got my early 90s alternative rock type influences, but I tend to mix it up. Even though I'm inspired by a particular artist, I normally then shift styles altogether. So sometimes people are surprised when I tell them who the inspiration was behind a particular track. So, it's a little edgier than most of my solo stuff, which had most of the sort of 60s folk rock type influences like The Byrds. So I made a conscious shift away from that sound, which was pretty much the imprint of my first two solo albums.
Yeah, so you're all over the lot, and I think that's a good thing. So people want to know, why did you name the album Faux Pas?
I consider myself in 2012 a cyber artist, for want of a better word, and there's a lot of people like me. I've noticed that Laurie Biagini's online at the moment, and you know Laurie's done some great music, but she probably considers herself an international artist as well. She's got fans scattered all over the world.
Yep.
So it gets back to what I said earlier. I've looked beyond my hometown, and it's to some of my peers here in Perth are a little bit confused about what I'm doing, because I don't really play live anymore. And I don't really fit the mold of what a musician should do, and that is that you write songs, you've got a band, you rehearse, and you play live gigs, and if you do well, you know, you go to the next step and you start touring. So the fact that I'm not playing live and I'm doing all these records on my own, there's some of my peers here in Perth that don't really take much interest in what I'm doing, because they just simply don't see me on the scene. And I called it Faux Pas because there's always a risk in doing an album where you're a one-man show and you've actually got no proper band to promote it. So this far, it hasn't been a faux pas, luckily. But time will tell, and I do want to put a live band together eventually, but I'm too busy doing promotion at the moment, so that's why I call it Faux Pas.
No, that's awesome, and of course, to have a collective, you will have to collect more musicians and then go on the road, or at least go live. I would love to see a Jack show live. I mean, for that matter, I would love to see a Britannica show live. That would be amazing to get you guys together.
Well, I can tell you that in 2013, I do have intentions of getting away from the house and from the computer, and I might indeed end up doing some sort of promotional tour or some shows in the US and or Europe.
Nice.
So you never know, Mike. You might actually have me live in the studio next year, all going well.
That would be good. I'm just grinning from ear to ear right now to have you come all the way to Sacramento. We've got weather you like. We might even have food you like. Let me ask you my patent interview question. What kind of foods do you like to eat? Just so I can get ready for this your visit to Sacramento.
Well, if I'm going to be in California, I think I need to have some really good quality Mexican. Sorry if that's a really boring, cliched sort of response, but we don't really have good Mexican here in Western Australia. We've got a lot of good Oriental and subcontinental food, but not good Mexican. And I distinctly remember when I was in the States in the late 90s, I had a fondness for Mexican. So it's your shout, Mike.
That's the exact correct answer for California. When I lived out of California for 10 years, I was in the Midwest part of the country. I was always on the hunt for good Mexican food, and Never quite found it, although I always got used to it, I guess. But yeah, that's the correct answer. We got some great places here, and oh my gosh, I'm so excited now. I'm already making reservations, Joe. I can't wait. Oh my goodness. Yeah, so where can my listeners get more information about you and your music? And more importantly, where can they buy it if they like what they've heard?
Okay, the best place to listen to, download, or order the CD is direct from the artist. So if any of the listeners want to go to my website, which is thejack.com.au, that automatically bounces to my Bandcamp site, and it's really easy. You can use credit card or PayPal. And like a lot of other independent artists, when you buy music, you're buying it directly from me. So I put the CD in a little post pack, I write a little thank you note, and I walk over to the post office myself to post it to you, much to the annoyance of the staff at my local post office who keep asking if there's any way that I can post all the CDs in one hit as opposed to 2, 5, or 10 at the time. So we always have a bit of a chuckle about that. And I just found out that Cool Cat Music, for any customers, any Cool Cat Music customers, you can order them direct from Ray, and there's going to be a couple of other retailers coming on stream soon. But otherwise, the best way for the time being is to order it directly from me at my website.
You know, I love the sound of that too. When you think about it, personal face-to-face service, even if it's all the way around the world, it's still more intimate than just going down to the store and buying, you know, your whatever the artist of the month is. You know, it just sounds like there's so much personal involvement. It's like a relationship with the artist and the listener, just what we were talking about before. I love that.
It's the way of the world. Sadly, a lot of, mostly the same in the States and everywhere else, a lot of the cool independent stores where I purchased a lot of great music in the 90s are vanishing because the whole business model for the music industry has been turned on its head. But with that, there's some good things. And I certainly get a kick out of buying music direct from the artist, and they certainly know that you've purchased the music. So I really enjoy it, no matter how much grief I get at the post office.
Absolutely. And you know what? I think the way to solve the post office problem is just more people to buy your discs all at once. And if they want to ship 50 or 100 out, if we got 50 or 100 people to buy your discs, we could just do it that way.
Well, it might be the case on Monday morning. I'm sending out all these discs to Sacramento, or anywhere else in the world.
Awesome, awesome. Joel Jury, it's been so great chatting with you. There's one more bit of business, though. You not only are an artist, but you wear a producer's hat, and you were telling me about an artist that you just produced a track for.
Yes, this is a friend of mine from Western Australia. He lives on the other side of the city. I live just south of Perth, the capital, and my friend Terry Davies lives on the other side of town, and Terry's just a friend that I've met at gigs, and I haven't known Terry for that long, and in fact, we didn't start off particularly well because he purchased a Britannica CD from me about 2 years ago at a gig, and it took him 6 months to pay for it. But nevertheless, we've become friends, and he said, you know, I write songs as well. I said, okay, Terry, just come around one day. And we did one acoustic track earlier in the year, and he sent me a demo of this particular track, and I really loved it, and I thought, my goodness, this is a bona fide power pop classic. So aside from songwriting and recording, I also love production. I like helping or getting involved with other artists. It's something that I started to do when I lived in Sweden, and I get as big a kick out of it as I do recording my own music. So Terry came around, and it was recorded much the same way as the Britannicas. Herb and I are the rhythm section. Terry did his lead vocals and rhythm guitar, and I did lead guitar and tambourine, and then I did all the editing and mixing, and it's turned out really great. And this song was only finished in the wee hours of Friday morning, and Terry's posted it on his own Bandcamp site, and it's available as a free download. And as far as I know, he's never had any international airplay, and I said, Terry, I might have to do something about that for you. So you've had a great response already, and of course, Herb and I get a big kick out of it for being part of it as well.
I love it, and it's amazing. It's that fresh, and 48 hours after it was recorded, we're about to play it on the air halfway around the globe. So I heard this track already. It is pretty darn good. It's amazing. It is a power pop classic, and I thank you for sharing some of your time with me, and of course letting Terry participate as well, even if he's in absentia at the moment.
I'm sure Terry's listening. So Terry, you owe me a box of beer. So we'll speak very, very soon.
Awesome. The song is You Could Always Stay. It's by Terry Davies, produced by Joe Algieri. Joe, thank you so much for chatting with me on Twirl Radio. It's been a blast. I really enjoyed having you on.
And thank you for having me once again. And I want to say also a thank you to all the listeners, including some of the regular ones, people like Deborah. Big hello from Western Australia, because I wouldn't exist as a cyber artist if it wasn't for you folks. So I'm really grateful for the support and the appreciation of my music. So thank you, everyone.
That's wonderful. And Joe, stay on the line. We're going to play Terry Davies, and You Could Always Stay here on Twirl.
Thank you.
Look at me with eyes of blue. Makes me stop. Stop thinking what I can do. What is it that I'm?